Back to the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select with Hockman, Gould, and Fredrickson on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, try and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
That's how it would have sounded.
I don't think you have that kind of soul.
That's how it would have sounded if I would have brought my sheet music with me to my show choir tryout in middle school. I had it all ready to go.
Why don't you give it a go right now?
Well, I mean, I haven't practiced. No, I'll be honest. Mine had more of a campfire feel than this.
Yeah, this is like way livened up in the version we used to sing.
Well, I could never do this version.
Why is that?
Well, I grew up Presbyterian.
Oh yeah,
oh,
no
they
dancing.
Allow this.
No, it's not that. We can't clap on beat. However, we possibly have that much rhythm.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I was telling Matt Whitener before the show. Every once in a while at church growing up, they used to bring in like a chorus from the black church in town. And it was awesome. You know, they'd get everybody up on their feet, and then they'd get everybody clapping, which was their biggest mistake. They never learned because it's like asking a room full of Presbyterians to clap, not going to happen. You have people who just flat out refuse, and then you have people, God bless them, they tried, but they can't clap in unison.
It's like,
that was as close as they got.
Good radio.
You know what used to have the worst, like, synchronized clap? Like, trying to clap as an audience at Hearn Center, along with the board up top where it had this guy just
clapping his
hands.
That's basically what was going on.
Knowing, like, the guy, when you would hear the sound, his hands clapping, there was no sound. It was just off the entire time. Like, it was
That was my childhood.
Awkward.
That was my childhood.
They could never synchronize themselves with the guy on the board clapping at Hearn Center.
Yep, that was my childhood. Pretty sad.
Presbyterian.
We're talking about Cardinals fans freaking out about Pecota predictions, which
there
kind
hasn't
of
been a lot of freak out.
Oh, they're freaking out on the Twitters. Just look it up.
Yeah.
What's crazy to me about Pecota is like it publishes, right? And then like within 5 minutes, there's like 50,000 articles about it that are all breaking it down and citing it and referencing it. Like so much to the point that it's very hard to find the actual Pecota predictions. Like if you try to find it,
it's already changed.
You find a million spinoffs of it, but not the real thing. Something that Cardinals fans are also freaking out about, Alex Reyes. General manager John Mozeliak said recently that he was...
Because that's not true. I don't know if we even know the actual quote, do we?
No, I haven't been able to track it down.
No, okay, so I don't want
you
to...
So there's speculation that exists in the ether.
I don't want you to lead yourself down a path that didn't happen. Basically, he was saying that he found it interesting, from what I understand. And yeah. I haven't heard this because it was on MLB Network Radio.
So this is off of a tweet.
This is and off of a tweet that I followed up on and found that it was not something that was actually said. Like, normally, if you're a journalist guy and you put quotes around something, you're going to have that be the words they said. This was just
That's
a guy.
The point. That's the goal of quoting
yeah,
someone, yes.
But this was just a guy who was just doing a thing. But and it's a good example of we can quote things and see things online, and it doesn't always make it true.
Okay.
And so what John...
Journalism lesson from America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But basically, the gist I got from what Mozeliak said was that he found it funny that everybody kind of has him penciled into the rotation. And the guys on the show, Bowden and Jim Duquette, said that they were surprised by it, is what I've been told. Now, I haven't heard this, so you can't
got
necessarily
it.
Take it as law.
Got it.
But just the idea that... There may not be room for Alex Reyes in the rotation if Michael Wacha is the guy that's going to get that fifth spot.
Well, this is something that Derek has written about when Reyes went to announced he was going to the World Baseball Classic. There is a possibility here that we discussed on the best podcast in baseball before he left. There's a possibility here that Reyes could be used. Depending on what role he's used in the World Baseball Classic, he might not be ready to be a starter at the start of the season. So that's a factor. Another factor is, oh, there are two guys who would like to be starters coming out of spring training, one of which has been an all-star starter before, and Michael Wacha. So you can see the potential for if Wacha fires on all cylinders at spring training and he's there the whole time. If Reyes is used as a reliever for the Dominican, his progress, his preparation is a bit delayed. You can see how Wacha could start in the rotation to start the season, and Reyes could either start at extended spring training and join later, or perhaps start at Memphis and then either pitch so well they have to find a spot for him, or they could kind of slow play him in order to maybe have him pitch later into the season with a rookie arm. So there,
which
Cardinals
I like.
Fans need Cardinals fans need to be prepared for that reality if it happens. It shouldn't be something that shocks you. I think a lot of us have probably avoided the possibility of it because we just want to see Reyes pitch. I mean, it's natural.
Fun.
It's natural to want to see Alex.
He's the new toy.
Do his thing, and if you look at guys who made their debuts last season who did not, you know, who are going to be eligible for rookie awards this season, he was just shy of the cutoff, which is great because he can compete for rookie of the year now. He had the best debut of anybody out there. So we can talk about. I think one of the things to point out here is there's a chance he could not be in the rotation to start the season. That doesn't mean he's not going to be. He shouldn't be a rookie of the year contender who makes a huge impact on this team this season.
It seems a lot of it centers around the talk of Michael Wacha. And
well, yeah, I mean, that's the big question.
Because we can throw Trevor Rosenthal's name in there if you want to.
Well, and he could. If Wacha doesn't perform and Trevor looks great in an extended innings role, perhaps Trevor
emerges. He's got more of a chance than you think.
As a starter. But to me, it starts with Wacha.
Yeah.
I mean, Wacha is the guy who's done it. Wacha is the guy who spent all offseason trying to build up his shoulder in order to be able to do it. The problem, and we discussed this with Michael before, is we just don't know at the beginning of the season, because that's not the question. He probably will look good at the beginning of the season. It's how he looks a quarter of the way, halfway, a third of the way into the season.
I'm getting to the point with Wacha, and this is unfortunate, of like kind of how I felt about Jaime Garcia for a time. And that's like I'm backing off investing in any way. You're going to have to prove your health. And it sounds, you know, a little coarse, but I mean, that's where you are with him right now because it's the same thing. It's now chronic. You're thinking if this shoulder, I shouldn't say shoulder. What do you want to say? Shoulder blade injury or whatever that might be.
The scapula?
Yeah. Scapula, yeah. Stress
so shoulder blade.
Stress reaction. Sorry, not
fracture. So it's the same deal year in and year out. For the past couple of years. I guess you can't define it as chronic necessarily yet, but it's trending down that path. Brandon McCarthy, who's had the injury before and has dealt with it his career, has said he can pinpoint around what innings he's thrown when it's going to pop up. So why should I expect anything different? Okay, you're going to strengthen the area or strengthen other muscles around it, which is what we've heard before, right? They've tried that already, I thought, too. Unless they're changing something mechanically, I don't see why I should expect any different result this year. I just don't, because it's going to be something mechanically right now to me. You're going to have to change, and they don't want to. Why? Oh, that downhill plane.
Well, I think it does affect. I think it does have an effect on him. I think that's a real concern, that if he changes the way he pitches, is he as good of a pitcher? So
no, that's fair. But what are you going to be then? You're going to throw 100 and something innings and then you're done?
I don't
okay.
know. I don't know.
I'm
not disagreeing
reliever.
With you. I feel right. the same way about him.
And look, people might say, oh, well, he's a starter. Some might not like him as a reliever even. But the reality might be that he is going to have to accept that. So I'm willing to more invest, look, let's say later in the season, I'm willing to invest that Alex Reyes is going to occupy a spot in that rotation over Michael Wacha.
Well, there's also a chance here that Reyes, even if he's delayed by his use in the World Baseball Classic, that he's so good to start the season that they have to find a spot for him. I mean, he's proven what he is capable of in small doses. So if Wacha is okay and Reyes is lights out, then I think the Cardinals have to be aware of the fact that, hey, the Cubs beat our brains in last year, and the losses that we were giving away early in the season ended up hurting us just as much as the losses we were giving away late in the season. So we can't afford to have a National League Rookie of the Year caliber pitcher to be spending much time in Memphis. Now, if the kid's not ready, or if Michael's lights out and you're saving your bullets, okay. Mm-hmm. But if Michael's scuffling at all, or any of these starters, and when Reyes is not in the rotation, then you're not going to wait a long time to bring Reyes up and put him in there because you've seen what he can do.
Yeah.
And this isn't to say that Reyes is a lock, right? Look, he needs to control his pitches better. He needs to keep his walks down. He needs to show, you know, more control. But to say that you're going to let him languish in Memphis while you wait for guys to sort things out, you don't have that time in this division.
Memphis is no place for him.
Oh, no.
He's got nothing left to do there. And he was better. Some of the issues we just mentioned were better in the majors than they were in Memphis. I mean, he's a guy who's going to pitch better when he's in St. Louis.
And part of that, we talked to Derek about it, was him, hey, maybe he got bored a little bit with what was happening in the minors for him. He needed to step up to face the next challenge. And obviously, he did very, very well in his debut last year. So, I mean, go ahead, Benford.
I was just going to say, so we can, you know, even if he's not in the rotation to start the season, do not write him off as a guy who can come out and win National League Rookie of the Year. I mean, in my opinion, he's the favorite.
He'll be in the rotation by the end of the year. If he's not in there to start.
I think he'll be there before the halfway point.
Oh, yeah.
At the latest.
Yeah, if it's about innings that we're talking about, which it is, you don't start him out in Memphis where he's going to waste some innings. Put him in the bullpen until you think that he's got the innings quota lined up correctly to get him to the end of the season and through the playoffs. Because what you don't want to happen is start him in the rotation to begin the year, and then you have to either have him sit out the end of the year like Strasburg, which that's not going to happen. So then you'd have to have him skipping potentially valuable starts. And so it would make sense to start him in the bullpen if you've got guys that can fill that fifth spot, which they seem to have.
You don't want to run into the situation like you did with Waka, where you sat him for so long, like he reached a certain limit that you had. I don't even know if it was a limit. It was just, you saw him tiring around a certain innings point. Like, you don't even have to put down what this is.
Yeah, no,
done.
There's
you
no.
You don't have to say that.
Just watch
but you,
him.
You can kind of guess where it might happen, though. I saw it happen with Carlos Martinez before, too. So you can kind of guess where it's going to happen. So the idea is to allow them to pitch as deep into the season as they possibly can, and not have to shut them down early and then, you know, yank them out to face Travis Ishikawa, and then we know the result of that. You don't want to have that happen again.
Today on STLC.com, I took an early look at the guys who should challenge Reyes for Rookie of the Year. I'll run through these quickly. We don't have to spend much time on them because this could completely change, and every year there's some guy who comes out of nowhere, Aledmys Díaz, who nobody plans on being a contender and then makes a run. But last year, the guy was pretty predictable and up winning it, Corey Seager. I would say Reyes is one of two favorites for National League Rookie of the Year headed into the season. Dansby Swanson, shortstop for the Braves, is going to be the other name that you hear a lot about. A couple of other guys to keep an eye on. Hunter Renfro, right fielder with the Padres. He is a kind of a strikeout guy, but he hits a ton of home runs and big power bat, so he could put up those home run type numbers that we saw Trevor Story catch so much attention with last season. Voters seem to love the guys who hit home runs. Also, another pitcher in the division, Tyler Glasnow, the pitcher from Pittsburgh, who didn't have nearly as good of a debut as Reyes did last season, but he should be in the rotation for Pittsburgh. Kind of in the same exact spot Reyes is in right now. He should be in the rotation for the Pirates to start at the season. Another guy in Pittsburgh that is worth knowing is Josh Bell. They have it penciled in for him to start every day at first base. He hasn't shown quite enough power to probably get much run in the awards, but he's just a pretty good hitter, and he's supposed to be improving defensively at first base. He'll be the everyday starter there unless something changes. Another guy, this is more of a long shot, but Cody Bellinger, who is going to be debuting at some point for the Dodgers. He's a first baseman, but he also can play in the outfield a little bit, which is maybe how he breaks in this year. Adrian Gonzalez is still there, so he's going to block him some. But Cody Bellinger, if you haven't heard of him, is a guy who is going to be making some noise pretty soon. His dad is Clay Bellinger, a former Yankee, and he's just supposed to be a potential, you know, Gold Glove first baseman who does it all. So he could be another guy who pops up at some point this season, especially their injuries out there in Dodgers. The crazy thing about the Dodgers is they have when they win rookies of the year, they win them in strings. They've had like two times where they won four in a row. So with Corey Seager winning, maybe there's another trend there. So those are some names to keep an eye on as you look ahead for Alex Reyes competing for the National League Rookie of the Year. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're talking with Blues Hockey with Jeff Gordon. He'll join us here on the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select. You're listening to the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com.